Twitter at Alan Bell 24/7, writer for CBS Sportsline, among
friend
many media.
Friend of show.
A friend of show. Let me get to it. CBS Sportsline and friend of show.
See what I got to put up with, Alan? He's been snapping at me all morning.
See what I got to put up, Alan? I'm getting to the introduction and building up to friend of show, and he just can't wait to jump in there. So,
I'll tell you this. You know, just being a friend of the show, you know what? It makes it all worth it for me. So I just appreciate on that end.
Well, we expect that to be on your bio on your Twitter handle.
Yes, right? Friend of the Greg Polk and John Burton show.
I'm putting it on my LinkedIn right now.
Well, let's just start the NFL. I guess it's still got to have some players' union approval, but knock it off two preseason games where each, what it'll be, the first and the fourth weeks will be eliminated. And each team will have a home game and a road game. And, of course, if that's the case, September 3rd, Bears, rather August 22nd, the Giants here, and August 29th, the Bucks there would be the Titans. But is that a done deal, or is there still a hurdle or two to get through that?
Yeah, so there's still a hurdle to get through it. It's just a proposal from the NFL. It's nothing that's official. You know, the NFLPA is going to have to sign off on it. But you know what? You know, it's either going to be two games or it's going to be zero games. And, you know, I don't think that we'll go to zero. And you know what? Two games makes sense, right? So if you take off week one, you give the players, you know, some extra time to get their, you know, their legs under them, get in football shape. And then if you take off week four, you're essentially eliminating the risk not only of players, you know, getting sick, contracting COVID-19, but you know what? Limiting the risk of having players that can't play in week one. So, you know, it makes a whole lot of sense. My biggest question about it is this, is have we seen the final, you know, time of having four preseason games? I could see something to where it just goes to two, you know, from here on out.
Alan, you know, here's the thing. A lot of people dog the four preseason games, and I get it. It's like drinking non-alcoholic beer, right? We get that. But I've also had, you know, a Hall of Fame coach and Bill Cowher say repeatedly when I worked in Pittsburgh that, you know, coaches need those four preseason games to evaluate their talent. And also, people dog that fourth preseason game, and I get why. It's not great television, but it's an opportunity for these fringe guys on the bubble to maybe impress the coaches and make a team, or for the other guys to put some good stuff on tape so maybe another team picks them up. And I know this year is unusual, so we'll throw this year out. But, you know, most coaches will tell you that those four preseason games are necessary. I know the fans don't like it, but I've seen guys make teams based on a strong fourth preseason game, you know?
Oh, I'm totally with you, right? Like, so I completely agree. I think that it's good for the coaches. It's absolutely good for the players, especially, you know, as you lay out, you know, if you're on, you know, the roster, you know, essentially number 54 to 90, you know, those are huge to you. That's your entire life, right? So I'm totally with you on that. And you know, I get, you know, from a fan's aspect of, you know, it not being entertaining football. Well, you know what? You don't have to watch. Right. The only part that comes in are season ticket holders, you know, who have to pay for it. And I think that if the NFL could work something out with them, you know, to economically make it, you know, easier on them, then I think that, you know, all parties would be, you know, positive moving forward. So, but I'm right there with you. Like, I mean, it's incredibly important. And take a look at what the roster sizes are going to be this year. We don't have anything official, but with only two preseason games, you know, we've seen reports that it might not be 90 players, right? Mm. So, I mean, just going off of what you were saying, you know, we're eliminating opportunities and chances for guys who literally might not ever get that chance again.
Alan Bell with us. I guess the news, Cam Newton to the Patriots, your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's a huge signing. And what I mean by it is this, is Cam Newton is obviously, you know, a former MVP, guy who's been to a Super Bowl. You know, clearly he's had some injuries in the last, you know, 2 years that he's dealt with. But if you look at the difference for the New England Patriots between Cam Newton and a guy in Jarrett Stidham who's never played, I mean, that's a significant jump, you know, for them just to have, you know, that difference, you know, at the quarterback position. So it's a big move for them. The Patriots still have holes to fill In terms of, you know, their skill positions on offense, I still question that offensive line, and especially after losing Dante Sarnecchia, who's arguably, you know, was one of the best offensive line coaches in the league, and they've got to get that fullback position healthy as well. But, yeah, I mean, that's a big move, and especially when it legitimately has zero risk for the Patriots, because he's only guaranteed, what, I think $500,000, somewhere around there,
yeah.
$2 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just no risk whatsoever.
You know, it's so funny because it's typical Belichick, because I find it comical that people hate the Patriots so much outside of New England, and they're saying this is it, and Belichick's going to go 4-12 with Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer. All of a sudden, they get the 2015 NFL MVP, who, by the way, is motivated as you know what to prove himself, so that he can go out and get a big contract next year as a free agent. Everybody wins with this scenario, and I think this puts the Patriots very much back in the mix to possibly win the AFC East. What say you?
Yeah, I completely agree. I would have them as the favorite sports line. We ran the simulations and projections that they would end up winning the AFC East. The Bills are going to be good, but you know what? I mean, the Patriots are still there, and you add Cam Newton to it, especially, like you said, a motivated Cam Newton, not only to prove everyone wrong about where he is, but you know, there's legitimately $25 million sitting at the end of this year if he has a good season, right? So, yeah, I'm with you. I would absolutely put the Patriots first in the AFC East, and somebody's going to have to take that title belt off of him.
You know, but, boy, I've heard some criticism from other players. The guarantee for Cam Newton was only $550,000.
Yeah.
They said $7.5 million, but guarantee money, $550,000.
Yeah, it's got incentives up the wazoo.
But that's, and I guess you want to go, like you just said, he's playing this year for that one next year. There's no doubt about that. But still, well, that's a Belichick move if I ever saw one. $550,000 for who will be your starting quarterback, probably.
Alan, yeah, and I love how Belichick came out and said, oh, well, he's going to have to compete for the starting spot. Give me a break.
Yeah, I got a feeling Cam Newton's going to be the starter in week one. And you're right. You know, I mean, in terms of, you know, incentive-based contract, you know, the incentives, if you're an NFL team, you want to pay incentives because it means you're winning, and mm-hmm. it means that he's succeeding and the team's succeeding around him. So, I mean, Belichick, you know, would have no problem cutting all $7 million of that contract because that means that they probably just won the AFC East or in the playoffs again.
Alan Bell is our guest. Interesting news about Chris Jones, who basically came out on social media and said, hey, if I don't get what I want, you know, I'll pull a Le'Veon Bell. I won't play. What do you make of that situation?
Well, here's the hard part for him is that, you know, with this new agreement, between the NFLPA and the NFL, holdouts are really obsolete now because you're not going to get any time served. You're going to be fined every single day, and you're going to find yourself, say if you sit out for a year, you're going to find yourself in the exact same position, doing the exact same thing next year. So it's really interesting that we're really not going to have holdouts anymore, to be completely honest with you. They're going to have, you know, players are going to have to find a new way. I totally understand, you know, about wanting to get paid for sure. But it's going to be it's just going to be more difficult for players to do it because they just don't have much leverage anymore, especially for a team. You know, it's one thing if you're a great player, kind of surrounded on a bad team with really nobody. But the Chiefs, not that I'm saying that they can replace him, but they're a pretty good team. And I don't think that they're going to, you know, bow down, you know, exactly for what he wants. Hopefully they can get something worked out.
Yeah, I was going to say the Chiefs are solid at the most important position, no?
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're pretty set.
As long as that guy's humming, you know, they're going to win their fair share of games with or without Chris Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
What about Antonio Brown? Do you see a scenario where he could latch on with a team? I know he's trying to get back. And
been working out with Russell Wilson.
Been working out with Russell Wilson, supposedly. You know, he's been kind of meeting with doctors to find out what's going on with the gray matter between his ears. Do you think Antonio Brown, do you expect to see Antonio Brown with an NFL team this year?
So we've got the odds of him being on an NFL team week one. The favorite being no. However, let me say this. Okay. We all know the NFL in terms of this. If you're good, they'll find a spot for you, right? Like Antonio Brown is probably going to play this year. He's been doing all the right things in terms of being quiet, working out, you know, showing NFL teams, hey, you know, I've changed. I'm not, you know, going to be the disaster that I was with the Patriots and with the Raiders. In the NFL, you know, if you've got talent, they're always willing to give you a second chance. And let me say this, in normal years, it would probably be a huge, you know, distraction of signing Antonio Brown, say, you know, between now and in training camp. But with everything else going on with COVID, with fans, are they going to be able to come? Are we even going to have a season? We just cut down the preseason. Like, these are all natural built-in distractions that if, say, the Seahawks were going to go sign him, if they sign Antonio Brown, it wouldn't even be the top 10 largest story of the day because who knows what else is going to come the rest of the day, right? So it would just be a blip on the social media radar. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if somebody signed him because, again, you know, not that it's the same as Cam Newton, but it is in terms of money. You're going to sign him for extremely cheap. He has zero leverage.
Alan Bell with us on Twitter at Alan Bell, A-L-L-A-N Bell, 24/7, writer for CBS Sports, CBS Sports Line. It looks like Daniel Snyder wants to move his team back into D.C. Of course, you know, his team's headquartered in Virginia, and he's, you know, the FedEx Field is in Maryland, but he wants to go back to the ORFK stadium site, which is in D.C. But apparently, if that's going to happen, he can't do it as the Washington Redskins. There's the feds aren't going to let it happen this time around. So I think there's a line going to be drawn in the sand on that Redskins name.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, he's facing a really, you know, difficult time in terms of everything that's going on, you know, from a social aspect of, you know, there's been a lot of people, you know, saying that they don't like that name, you know, for a while now. And it's just going to be an almost impossible move for him, you know, to do that and keep that name. I'm really interested in watching how this goes about because, I mean, again, like, it's just so unprecedented of, you know, think about that team and that name, and I know that they haven't been good, you know, for a while, but I mean, that's a nationally and internationally known brand, and, you know, not to mention Daniel Snyder is a huge fan of that team, and he was before that he was an owner, you know, and he really likes that name. So, you know, again, I'm just interested to see how this entire thing plays out because, you know, there have been name changes and things before, but not at this level and not at this, you know, time in, you know, really our social climate where everyone will see every aspect of that happening.
You mentioned the social climate, Alan. Good segue there. Colin Kaepernick, what do you think is the situation with him? Do you think he wants to come back and play? And do you think, given everything that's happened over the last several months in terms of, you know, racial issues in our country, you know, do you think Cap can and will get a shot to come back to the NFL?
So, yeah. So, you know, I think that he wants to play. You know, his representation and his agency, you know, continues to say that he does. The hard part for him in terms of that is that, one, so if you look at supply and demand of quarterbacks in the NFL, there's much more supply than there is demand. I mean, we just saw Cam Newton, you know, just get signed, right? So, I mean, essentially the Jaguars might be the only team that would be looking for a starting quarterback. So would he be willing, you know, to compete, you know, in a backup position first? And then two, in terms of money, what would he want? Because, again, it's so late in the process that not a lot of teams essentially have a ton of money, you know, to pay, right? And that's not even just Kaepernick. That would be almost anybody. Look at Jameis. Look at Cam. Teams just don't have the money, you know, to sign for that position. You know, as for does he end up on a team, you know, I think that there's never been a better time, you know, for a team to sign him. I think that it would be celebrated. I think the NFL obviously would not get in the way as they probably did, you know, over the last few years. If it happens, again, I don't know because that's the hard part is that there's really just not that many teams looking for a starting quarterback. But if he's, you know, if financially he's not, you know, setting a, you know, a large price and he's willing to come in, you know, to compete. I'm not saying he has to be a number two, but,
right,
you know, compete for that job. Yeah, I mean, he's good enough and he's better than a lot of other quarterbacks.
I was just going to say, Alan, a lot of people forget. I was just going to say, not to cut you off, but a lot of people forget this guy was one throw away from winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
In a possible controversial non-call there for pass interference in a game where they were getting their butts kicked, and he led them all the way back. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you know, his numbers and his talent is not—it's undeniable, right? So, I mean, that's the thing is that don't you think the Chicago Bears would be, you know, excited to have him competing above Foles and Trubisky, right? So, there's a lot of things that go into it,
but with his narrative though, is he better not doing it? And you never want to go into anything with a negative thought, but if he comes in and he flops, okay, because he hadn't played in what, 4 years, you know, so there's no given. Yeah, when he was playing, we know what he was, but that was 4 years ago. What is he today? If he comes in and doesn't work out,
well, at least he will have gotten his opportunity,
right?
That he should have gotten years ago.
I agree with that. Is he better though? Still, the martyr that he is now to continue that message.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's my question to it, and I'm going to take a part of what you said and roll off of it. So, I think that, you know, putting yourself, you know, in his shoes and everything that he's done for social justice and raising awareness and being, you know, a leader of the community, you know, would it be better and him have a larger impact overall if he were to say, you know, get with the NFL from, you know, the executive level, from the actual league office and say, hey, look, I can do a bunch of things to help everybody involved, you know, with your backing and your resources. And the league say, you know what, you're exactly right. Like, let's team up. You get with the players. We'll throw a bunch of money your way, and you lead this thing. Like, that could be a monster thing for everybody. But again, you know, it's all on, you know, what he wants to do, because I don't want to put words in his mouth. If the guy wants to play, then hey, I'm the last one to get your
players
get
play.
But
if he comes, let's just say he comes to the Titans, okay? Is he an upgrade from Logan Woodside? You got to probably think, yeah, who knows? You know, on either one of those or Cole McDonald. But if he comes here, the hope is he doesn't play a snap. Right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Ideally,
unless it's, you know, in a blowout. So, you know, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where his impact going forward can be most used. But if a player wants to play, you know, and as you mentioned, John, getting that chance, if that's still important to him, it may be more important to other people than him. You know?
You're right. That's a great point.
So, Alan, always a pleasure, my man.
Man, I appreciate you guys so much for having me on. It's always a pleasure on my end.
All right. See you, man.
Friend of show.
Yeah, friend of show. Hey, have a great 4th, Alan.